The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Before the awareness was out there, when I was young and played football briefly, there were a couple times where I'm sure that that ringing sensation in my head and the needing to sit down for a while might have been a mild concussion, and at the time you didn't think anything of it.
There's the answer. We didn't know it.
The awareness is improved today, but not by much.
We have a guy who was disabled as a youth, and we should have sympathy for him. It's the ringing in his head that explains the fact that the fish is rotting from the head down. Let's hear Led Zeppelin. This piece has earned $583 million since it was written. I'm in the wrong business. They're being sued now by a guy who died. I know it sounds crazy, but a guy who died says he created the chord variations that they stole. How can you copyright a chord variation? That's like copyrighting a cloud formation, isn't it? Welcome to Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. This is the theater of the Savage Nation. And remember, the theater is the temple of the story. And as you listen to this show, I hope to give you a good theatrical experience without riling you too much. Notice I say too much. But in the last 24 hours, there's been two resignations from Captain Obama's sinking ship. What do you think that means, that the four-star General Shinseki, who was the fall guy for the VA scandal, is gone, and now the spokesmouth, Jay Carneybarker, is gone? I mean, you can't fix... I mean, it would be like a fish shedding rotting fins. He got rid of two fins, but the fish is shot. You can't call me on that. What can you say? The administration's in deep trouble. So let's go to the real meat of the show today, a little story out of New York. Headline: White police lieutenant awarded $1.35 million in racial discrimination lawsuit. A Long Island police lieutenant has been awarded $1.35 million in his racial discrimination lawsuit against the village of Freeport, Long Island. You see, Lieutenant Christopher Barella, who is white, evil white man, had accused the village of awarding the police chief's job to a Hispanic officer with almost no qualifications and a lower test score. The former mayor, Andrew Hardwick, was a defendant in the case but could not be reached for comment. He was the village's first black mayor, and according to this lawsuit, he passed over as many whites as he could to replace them with less qualified people of color. Barella had charged that Hardwick terminated and demoted qualified, experienced white men. Barella charged that Hardwick, the African-American mayor at the time, illegally chose Miguel Bermudez for the chief, the job of police chief, and he won $1.35 million. So let's look at the actual case and see what you think on the Savage Nation. Now, we all know that discrimination is rampant in America, mainly against white males. That we know. We all know that police departments, in particular fire departments, even corporations, are bending over backwards to hire people of color to show that they're not, let us say, discriminating against people of color. So they hire less qualified people of color. Everyone knows it. Your daughter can tell you about scholarships. Your son can tell you about scholarships. Everybody knows it, but no one will say it. So let's look at the actual case itself. The guy who just won the $1.35 million, the European-American Barella, is 47. He has a master's degree. He came in first on the civil service test for chief of police. Okay, let's start again. He is a Suffolk resident with a master's degree. He came in first on the civil service test for chief of police. Instead, the black mayor named Lieutenant Miguel Bermudez of Freeport, who had no degree, not only not a master's degree, no college degree, lacked the previously required 4 years in his lieutenant position, and came in third on the civil service test. Did you hear? What do you think of that? You have any affirmative action horror stories to tell the nation while we can still talk about it before being called racists? for finally expressing our disgust with the animal farm that we're living in. You know, Orwell warned us about days like this under Obama, where certain individuals would use every trick in the book to turn the rest of the animals into slaves. There was a great article the other day by Alison Pearson in the Telegraph UK called "Are We All Racist Now?" And what's gone on in Europe has been an earthquake. They voted in conservatives in England. They voted in conservatives in France. They voted out EU membership. They want the immigrants thrown out of their country. They want the flood of benefits being given to the third worlders to stop. And they voted on it because they have a parliamentary system while we're stuck with a monopoly, which is why we have a rotting fish at the head of the entire structure here. We're stuck. Do you know what Obama's doing to you while you sleep and watch sports, you idiot, you? 60,000 illegal aliens from Guatemala, mainly children, are being dumped on our border because he opened the floodgates to them. And they're busting them to Arizona because they can't even take them in Texas. He said, come on in. We want you all in. We need Democrat voters. So don't tell me they all come here to work. 60,000 children from Guatemala and Salvador, they're not coming here to work. They're coming here to suck the system dry. They're coming here to wreck the school system. English as a second language? Do you know how much money is being spent on ESL programs instead of on reading, writing, and arithmetic? Do you have any idea why our schools went from almost number one? In fact, in California, they were number one to like number 32 under Jerry Brown. Do you understand what the Service Employees International Union has done to this state, SEIU, where they elected Jerry Brown, the union alone, put this man in office? The SEIU destroyed the state. Let me give you a little fact. California prides itself on its film industry, right? Well, under the SEIU fascisti and Governor Jerry Brown, Sony Pictures Image Works is leaving Culver City, California, and moving to Vancouver for the tax breaks. That's right. You heard me. Socialist Canada is now more business-friendly than California under Jerry Brown. Did you hear the story? Didn't make it to your local paper? All you worried about is, are you racist or sexist or homophobic? Is that it? They got you so cowed that you listen to the losers tell you that? In a further blow to Southern California's visual effects industry, Sony Pictures Image Works is moving its L.A. area headquarters to Vancouver, Canada. It was transferring the bulk of its operations to Vancouver, where it has a satellite studio. They're firing 270 workers in California. Why are they doing this? Because Socialist Canada allows the company that any company that operates in British Columbia can recoup about 60% of what they spend on local labor costs. And as a result, Socialist Canada is now pulling the movie business out of Los Angeles. Socialist Canada, Jerry Brown, is now more business-friendly than California. Socialist Canada, California, is now more appealing than this rotting state that's run by the Service Employees International Union. Did you hear what I just said to you? Do you know what's going on in this country under these unions and these Democrat socialists? But let's go back to Are We All Racist Now? This is a very important article. It's about what went on in England. And what went on in England was an earthquake over the weekend. They said no more to illegal aliens, no more to third worlders who were committing crimes and robbing them blind on taxes. And the old people of England are saying, we want our England back. We want our England back. More than 90% of those who voted who say they are racist want to see immigration halted. You hear? 72% of those who do not consider themselves racist also want to see immigration cut drastically. Did you hear that? As shell-shocked politicians from the main parties in England struggle to discern the causes of UKIP's deafening electoral success, here's a tip. Look in the mirror, chaps. It's the politicians, not the British people, who are to blame for a resurgence in racism. Politicians who have ignored public opinion and created the conditions in which resentments fester and grow. Specifically, New Labour, who welcome workers from the new accession countries of the EU at a time when countries such as France and Germany wisely exercise their right to keep them out for another 7 years. But in this country, Obama's flooding the country with unskilled, illegal aliens from countries they don't even speak English. Tony Blair did it, then the next one did it. Anyone who was white and loved England was called a racist. They were called retrogrades. And Tony Blair said we must welcome a new, vibrant, multicultural country because he thought they would all vote Labour, which is socialist. Now, of course, England is not America, but it's far worse here. Are you ready for what's coming now? Because what's coming is possibly a civil war in this country. If the communist socialists under the Democrat regime are not stopped, I predict there is liable to be a civil war in the country, which we all want to avoid at all costs. Now, in England, it took a vote to stop them. And that's because they have a system far more democratic than ours, a system called a parliamentary system, where if a government fails the people, they can call for a vote, and they can call for a new government. We can't. We're stuck with a rotting government, a government that is so sold out to special interests and the third worlders, like La Raza, that we the people are marginalized in our own country. We are being marginalized in our own country. Do you fear that there could be an insurrection in this country against the government, as I do? Well, hold your fire. Hold your fire on all fronts, because I'm not ready to talk about that. The affirmative action horror stories are an example of what's going on in this country. And this case today of the European-American, Mr. Barilla, who had a master's degree, came in first in the civil service test for chief of police, but was passed over for Miguel Bermudez, who has no college degree, lacked a previously required 4 years in his lieutenant position, and came in last, third on the test. This is an example of the country is finally awakening, but slowly is it awakening. Maybe much too slowly. Much too slowly. And the fact of the matter is, anyone who brings these facts to reality are called racists. That's their game. It's the only game they have. Which is why, of course, that's all they ever talk about. Who do you blame for the flaring racial tensions? Do you have an affirmative action horror story in any sphere of endeavor? Your son, your daughter, maybe they killed themselves to get a straight A average but were not accepted, let's say, at a prestigious college, if you still can call any college prestigious, except in the hard sciences. Who do you blame for the flaring racial tensions? What do you fear will happen next in U.S. race relations? 855-400-7282. I want to next go to Michelle Obama, who has an obsession with saying one thing and doing another, like someone I know. Let's start with clip four on her favorite things to eat, and then you'll understand what I'm about to do.
Dude, what's your question?
What is your favorite thing to eat?
My favorite thing to eat? Okay, so I'm going to give you my favorite healthy thing to eat, which actually is my favorite thing to eat. Pizza.
Jeez.
Oh,
God.
Ah, yes.
Oh,
but if I'm really being bad, right? Now, if I want my favorite junk food, some kids asked me this just the other day. One of my favorite junk foods are French fries. I love French fries.
So as a result of her obsession with French fries and her inability to control her weight, she's acting out on the children by forcing them to eat lettuce and tomatoes and vegetables. Now, I have nothing against lettuce and tomato and vegetables. I've lobbied for this kind of food my whole life by writing books for children and children's diets. But anyone who imposes this on children is conducting a war on children in a way that I defined in 1983 in my book, The Skeptical Nutritionist, which I called food fascism. And it begins maybe with food fascism or soda fascism, as in the case of Mayor Bloomberg. But it doesn't end with food fascism or soda fascism. It only begins with food fascism or soda fascism. And so Michelle Obama imposes lunches on the children, which they don't want, which they reject, which they're not buying. The schools are losing a fortune, and the schools are opting out of these stupid programs because the kids won't eat that garbage. And so Congress finally hears the people and passes or trying to pass a bill to let the children eat a little better food that they actually need for growing. Because let me tell you something, as an expert in nutrition who's written many books on children's health, children need different diets than you do. They need much more fat than you do. You may not know that, but if you feed your child a no-fat diet, as many of you are mistakenly doing, if you raise your child on such obtuse diets as those you have been brainwashed into eating, your child is probably suffering from malnutrition. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com.
This is going to take more money. In other words, to bring the VA hospitals and clinics and facilities to where they need to be to produce results in a timely fashion is going to cost some money.
How does she get away with it? How does she get away with it? She's more painful than a bee sting. Every word out of her mouth is like a wasp sting on your lips. We know that the VA is stealing money in the hundreds of millions of dollars. We know there's graft. We know there's corruption. We know there's stolen equipment. We know that there's double and triple ordering. We know there's triple sets of books. We know they're blowing billions of dollars that they don't spend. And she wants more money. Classical socialist liar! Everywhere we turn. And what's the defense at every turn? We need fairness. You're a racist if you stand up to the bigots who are using race to get ahead. You know what you have to say then? You know, I'm a racist? I'm a racist then. What are you going to do about it? Go ahead, call me a racist, because that's what they're doing in England. They don't even care anymore. Did you hear this? Are you ready for this story out of England? Are you ready for this? A grandmother in England was told she was a racist by her children. She asked her grandson if his choir sang Negro spirituals. Racist, chorused my junior thought police with more than a hint of glee. She said, I'm not racist. What did I say that was racist? You're not allowed to call them Negro spirituals anymore, my daughter informed her. Well, what do you call them then, asked Grandma. African-American spirituals, announced daughter, a creature of such impeccable liberal certitude that she makes Nick Clegg look like Oswald Mosley. People of color spirituals, hazarded the son. He didn't have a clue, but he was enjoying his generation's favorite baiting game, more politically correct than thou. Grandma is not a racist, said the other grandson. Heinrich Himmler was a racist, not your grandmother. The boy said, who's Heinrich Himmler? And that's an example of the moronics in America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
We don't keep our opinions to ourselves. We are the Tribune, on the only conservative station in the Bay Area.
Well, I think any time that our KSFO. Men and women in uniform are not served in the manner which they deserve, you could perhaps call it a scandal, because it's scandalous that they're not. Whether it is a scandal with intention and the rest of that, the evidence remains to be seen. But the fact is that they haven't been served worthy of their sacrifice or their role in our country.
How does a woman like this get up in the morning? How? Doesn't someone say, Gamma, isn't it time for you to stay home and make lasagna? Gamma, you're making us embarrassed. Gamma, please stop. Can you please stay home, Grandma? We love you very much. You're a nice woman. Grandma, please don't make those funny statements anymore. Everyone is laughing at us at school. Grandma, please stop it. Everyone knows it's a scandal, Grandma. Please, must you continue down this road of covering for the president, Grandma? Grandma, please stop, Grandma. You're getting us... No, I don't think that happens, though. I don't think anyone says anything to the queen, to any of the queens or kings that are now running America, because we're not living in America anymore. There's no America anymore. The America that you grew up believing existed has been stolen from you. It was step by step. And, you know, for 20 years now, I have tried to delineate the tricks of the left and what they were doing to this country. I wrote 5 New York Times bestsellers in a row doing it, but there's only so much any man can do. The forces of, let us say, of the opposition are so all-powerful that sometimes you feel there's no stopping them. Now, I haven't stopped yet. I still get up every day and think that any day there's going to be a turnaround, any day that this fraud is going to be discovered, he's either going to be thrown out or he's going to be impeached or arrested. Any day now, I keep saying it's going to happen. Any day they're going to finally find the smoking gun that can bring the president before a commission or a committee or an impeachment. Any day now, I keep praying for, let's say, the days of Watergate are nothing. Watergate was a minor scandal to at least five different scandals that have emerged under this administration. Watergate was nothing. Nothing. A minor burglary. Nothing. A next to nothing. Nixon sent some detectives to spy on some opponents to his administration, while this administration spies on all Americans and others around the world with impunity, and he hasn't been impeached for it. Instead, they cover for him. But what has to happen is anyone's guess. I'm a great believer in God. I'm a great believer in faith. And I do believe that God will save this country. I maybe it's a child's belief. Maybe it's childish to have such beliefs at this stage, in this age of cynicism. Maybe I'm just being a fool. It's possible that after all these years, I'm believing and holding on to something that's not real. But I'm telling you, this can't go on. Sure, the VA scandal finally blew up in his face. So he threw out Shinseki, a four-star general. And he fired J. Carney Barker because he was no longer a credible liar. So the next one will be the subaltern of Carney Barker, the next stooge that gets up there. The next one that'll lie for the president. That's their job. A spokesmouth is a paid, you know, double talker, in other words. But even the supine press had enough of Carney Barker. But what's it going to take, I ask myself? What must happen? He has wrecked our foreign policy. He's destroyed America's image. He's decimated the U.S. military. I don't want to go down the list. Spies on all the Americans. The IRS scandal alone should have put people in jail. So why do you think all of a sudden this one is the one that caused the minions that run Obama? Obama's brain probably was behind this, or the four horsemen of the apocalypse made the decision. He certainly didn't. You know, he doesn't make decisions of this nature. It was either Axelrod or one of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, Jared or one of the others, or Michelle herself, in between binging on French fries, who said, all right, get rid of Carney, get rid of Shinseki. That's all. All right, yes, we'll do, sure. Now, why do you think it was the VA scandal as opposed to all the others, which are gigantic, by the way? It's simple. Because there's midterm elections coming up, and they could only flood the country with so many illegal aliens. They could only rig the elections so far, and they're terrified because every poll shows them that they need the moronic, stupid, middle-of-the-road white male voter and the white woman voter who put them in power in order to get the Democrats to hold on to power. And they realize that these people have finally awakened to what was done to them through white guilt and a big lie. In other words, the big lie and white guilt pushed them over the finish line. But apparently white guilt is no longer working, even though they're hammering that every day. Every day hammering the white guilt story to try and get white people to say, I better not say a word about it. Am I a racist? Let me look in the mirror. The king has no clothes, but I better not see that. There may be something blinding me. He does have clothes, doesn't he? Johnny, come over here. Does your president have pants on or not? No, mommy, the king has no clothes. Johnny, I'm afraid we're taking you in for therapy and medication because I think, Johnny, you are a racist. Everyone could see the king has clothes. Well, go read the fable and try to understand why it was written. Why was the fable, The King Has No Clothes, written so many years ago? What was it about? It was about a fraudulent leader that everyone could see was a fake leader. Everyone could look right through him and see he was naked. And the ministers would say, no, he's wearing a beautiful a tapestry. And the press would say, no, he's wearing a beautiful set of clothing. And that's how this works. But why do you think they finally responded to the VA scandal amongst all of them and fired people? I mean, they could have fired the IRS commissioner at that time, but they wouldn't. They stood behind Lois Lerner and all the others. So why now? It's because if they lose the veteran vote, if they lose the women of veterans serving and formerly serving, combat troops, non-combat troops, if they lose the veteran vote, they're out of business. The Democrats are finished. Now, no matter how many illegal aliens they flood in here, and no matter how many machines they rig, they're going to lose the midterms, and then they're going to lose the Senate. And then they're going to lose the presidency. So they said, okay, we need the white working class vote. And so we're going to make certain that the VA scandal is at least got some window dressing fixes. We'll start with firing Shinseki. We'll fire the spokesmouth Carney. We'll bring in a new face to this whole story. We'll put in a new stooge in the VA, and we'll make believe that we're fixing something. And they figure maybe then the veterans will continue to vote because, as you may not know this, many of you think that because they're veterans or police that they vote Republican. You couldn't be further from the truth. Most police vote Democrat because of one reason. Most military vote Democrat, whether you know it or not, for one reason. Because of benefits and things of that nature. That's all. They don't care about anything else. Everyone looks out for their own back end here. And so, therefore, they have a real challenge ahead of them. But that's why the VA scandal, in my opinion, was the one that finally had them act. They certainly didn't act with the spying scandal. They could have fired the head of the NSA. They didn't, right? They didn't act on the IRS scandal. They could have fired the head of the IRS. They didn't do that. Fast and furious, they could have fired Eric Holder. They didn't do that. But why suddenly did they fire Shinseki? Well, I told you why. Because this one has a voting block that's definitive and one that they're afraid they're going to lose. That's all. 855-407-282, but don't call it because we're out of space here. We have great callers. The show opened with the case out of New York of the white police lieutenant winning $1.35 million in a racial discrimination lawsuit. Now, this is not the first time that a white individual, I should say Caucasian individual, sued and won on an affirmative action case. But in this case, this is a big story because this guy had a master's degree, the white man. He had a master's degree, came in first in the civil service test, and they passed him over for a Hispanic, Miguel Bermudez, who had no degree at all, never went to college, or maybe he went for a few courses, did not have 4 years in his lieutenant position, and came in third on the test. And even a jury in New York said, that's so open and shut. So he just won $1.35 million. And that's a very big story. And I asked you about that story in particular. In particular, I asked you about that story on the Savage Nation today. And let's go to some of the callers. Let's begin in Dallas, Texas on the great WBAP. Joy, go ahead, please. Tell us your story.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm tired of apologizing for being white and for being Christian.
Let me ask you this. What do you mean? Who do you apologize to?
Well, to get a door open, it seems like that's where we are here. And I was
In your life, have you really had to apologize to anyone for being white and Christian?
No, but for my children, I have. I have five children, and my son, who has worked his behind off, he was average in high school. He went to community college, all the way through the boards, 4.0, applied for a prestigious college here in Texas, was offered a half scholarship. That wouldn't do it for our family, and I told him to hang on. And still, he graduated community college with 2 degrees, went back, applied again, 4.0, hundreds of hours, hundreds and hundreds of documented hours of community service. And it took, and I'm not making this up, the head of Dallas Community Colleges to walk him in and get that scholarship at this college.
Well, who were they giving the scholarships to instead of your son?
It looked like the rainbow, which was fine with my son. My son didn't have a problem with that. But as far as marks, community
well,
service.
Were the rainbow candidates as qualified as your son, more qualified or less qualified?
Same or less.
And they were passed. He was passed over because of their race. Is that what you're implying?
Yes. It took.
Well, we know this goes on. Everyone in the country knows that. You go ask any college kid, they all accept it as a fact of life.
Well,
They shrug like it's normal to be passed over by someone with less credentials. It's not normal. It's un-American. It's criminal. Affirmative action is a crime.
It's not normal. It wasn't how I was.
It's a crime, God.
It wasn't
affirmative action is a crime against humanity. Affirmative action is thievery. I am an immigrant son. I killed myself every step of the way. And I will tell you, no one in my family benefited from slavery for one second. And I am sick and tired of listening to this rubbish. Stand up to Animal Farm. Call out Animal Farm. Don't let Animal Farm crush you and turn you into a slave yourself. Because they're enslaving you. You want to use a powerful word that's really highly charged? By stealing your birthright from you based on your race or your children's race, what is that but slavery? And how did this come about in America? Did it come about overnight under Obama? No, absolutely not. But it's magnified under Obama. It's becoming nightmarish under Obama. Remember last weekend or the weekend before, 2 weeks ago, the graduation speeches by Michelle Obama, where she referred back to Brown versus Board of Education to some young children, never even heard of it. She wanted to bring them back to racial discrimination times, 1954 South. Even Timothy Geithner, that lying lout, Timothy Geithner gets up and says it's about skin color in this country when he himself was a privileged white boy. Then the Attorney General, another speech at a college about race. And then another speech after that by Rockefeller about race. They're all on the same page. They're all reading from the same playbook. They know that there's only one way to win the next election. And that's not on any policies or principles. It's to, A, excite the people of color to come out and vote for them, and B, to intimidate white liberals into voting for them out of guilt, white guilt. Well-established principles in the sociology books. I didn't invent it just for the sake of the radio show. And so this is a heart-wrenching topic on the show. It's easy to just joke around all day long, but I can tell you, I am Linkaeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts, and I ride atop the highest mast of this ship, and I can see what's coming. I am telling you, we're not only heading for the rocks. The ship of state is grinding against the iceberg, tearing open the plates beneath the waterline. And I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I could see you were a man of distinction.
The Savage Nation. That's not the rock and roll that I like, Neil. We'll have to pick some of the old favorites during the breaks on Rock and Roll Friday. But not to be outdone on the inequality of big lie out of Animal Farm is Hillary Clinton, who says we must stop the cancer of inequality. She realizes as well she has no policy experience to run for the presidency. She has absolutely no qualifications whatsoever, unless you consider negative qualifications. She was a great failure as Secretary of State. Everything she was in charge of has blown up, frankly, around the world. Tell me what. I'd like to know what qualifies Hillary Clinton for the presidency. Could someone listening to the show tell me, please? I mean, I am an equal opportunity skeptic. I'm as skeptical of the Republican Party as anyone can possibly be, and have been for 20 years, if not more. I've always called them check pants Republicans, country club Republicans. They're not my kind of people. But I'd like to know what her qualifications are. Are there any? What has she done, for example, in Libya or Egypt or Syria or Ukraine to qualify her for the presidency? The answer is the opposite. She's disqualified herself in Libya, Egypt, Syria, and Ukraine. So I don't quite get it. You mean being a woman is enough? Well, if that's not stupid, I'd like to know what is stupid. I wouldn't mind a woman president. I love women leaders. I think that a woman leader is a great thing to have if they're a competent woman leader. There were some very fine women leaders in my day. I mean, you have Merkel, who's pretty good in Germany. Golda Meir in Israel comes to mind. Thatcher was wonderful. I would love an Iron Lady who loves the country for the presidency. So it's not about her sex that I'm concerned about. It's the fact that she has negative qualifications for being the president. And yet it seems to me that the hysteria behind Hillary Clinton is reaching an almost fever pitch now. What has she actually accomplished other than wearing a skirt? I don't quite get it. Okay, so we'll go into that another time. Let's take some great callers. God, we're almost out of time. Where the hour goes, Sal on WABC. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. I have two questions I think that are related, and I'd really like to get your answer on them. One is, do you think that this is, would you consider this America anymore once the majority of the population is non-white, of non-European heritage? Would you still consider it America anymore?
Sure, it could be America. Absolutely. If the people who dominated the country demographically loved the country and stood for borders, language, and culture, why wouldn't it be America?
You don't believe that there's any kind of notion of this being a European heritage country, and as long as that majority is gone, there's really no...
No, I don't think so at all, because the European heritage is built upon principles that originated in Europe. But it doesn't have to be dominated by Europeans racially for it to still be America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
There's a big shaking going on in the White House. I ain't faking. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Welcome to The Savage Nation. Come on over, baby. Come on over to The Savage Nation, the United States of this America. So, here we are. He threw out two in 24 hours. And not to be outdone, Hillary Clinton on Facebook says we must stop the cancer of inequality. Prince Charles calls for an end to capitalism to save planet from global warming. They're all on the same page. The worldwide New World Order, the new Soviet World Order is what I call it, because make no mistake about it, not all new orders are good orders. In fact, some new orders are bad orders. Nothing wrong with the old world order, as far as I could tell. Not in this country. I don't live in Nigeria. I live in America, land of opportunity. If you work hard, you got brains, and you're lucky enough, you'll get somewhere. And if you don't work hard and you don't have brains, you'll get nowhere, unless you inherit it. That's the way it's been from the beginning of time, so what's wrong with that? What, you want me to give somebody something that they didn't earn? They sit on their behinds in a doorway drinking a beer, I owe them something? Or Obama wants to dump 60,000 illegal alien children on the border from Guatemala and El Salvador, and I'm supposed to take care of them and listen to the rubbish that they all come here to work? What four-year-old works? What six-year-old works? Tell me, are you people that stupid, so riddled with your own white guilt that you think that you have to grant amnesty to these illegal aliens who are going to destroy the country? What is wrong with you? When did it become racist to recognize reality? When did it become racist to say enough is enough? When did it become racist exactly to love your country? Is that also a crime now against Obama because you love your country and he apparently doesn't? When did it become racist to say that someone who's less qualified than you does not deserve your job? That's racist to say, I have a master's degree, I came in first in the civil service exam, and you gave it to a Hispanic who had no qualifications to equal mine, never went to college, came in third on the exam, didn't have the experience I had, and you made him police chief? Well, that white man got mad, or shall I say European-American, to be a little less incendiary. European-American policeman sued, took him a long time, and he was awarded $1.35 million in his racial discrimination lawsuit against the village of Freeport, Long Island. He accused the village of awarding the police chief's job to a Hispanic officer with very few qualifications and a much, much, much lower test score. We all know what's going on. Everybody knows it in the police departments across America. Take a look at what's happened to the California Highway Patrol because of affirmative action. Take a look at it. Highly qualified men are being driven out or leaving because of the insanity of this governor. It's getting so bad in this state that Sony Pictures, I'm going to move to business now. Sony Pictures just moved, is moving its LA headquarters to Vancouver. And so Socialist Canada is now more business friendly than Governor Brown's California. I want you to think about what's going on in this country. That the lead-footed Democrats who are running the country, from Obama to Jerry Brown to de Blasio, you name it, are so out of touch with what's actually happening in the country that even the liberal film industry, which at the end of the day is run by businessmen, are moving out of the state of California and moving to British Columbia, where they can recoup about 60% of what they spend on local labor costs. So even Socialist Canada is more appealing to the liberals of Hollywood than California. And Jerry Brown sits there and only talks about it as a train to nowhere, and illegal aliens are like gods to him. Why? Because he's owned lock, stock, and barrel by the SEIU, the Service Employees International Union. Owns the state of California from the state house to the city house. Wherever you look, they're running the state. And what they're offering is a voter block. And apparently that's good enough for the stooges that they put in office. But it doesn't seem to even work on Hollywood anymore. They're just moving. They're leaving the state. So they're firing the whole group of 270 workers in Culver City, California. They're moving to socialist Canada to cut costs because of the generous tax breaks that are not available in Jerry Brown's California. 60% of what they spend on local labor costs can be recouped owing to the tax incentives, which has made Vancouver, Canada, a major hub for film and TV production, as well as visual effects work. Now, this was first reported by the Vancouver Sun. Why is this happening? Do you know that even James Cameron, who's as famous as he is, the director James Cameron, everyone knows who he is, had a company called Digital Domain, and it filed for bankruptcy protection in 2012. You know that Oscar-winning effects house Rhythm and Hues also filed for bankruptcy last year after laying off 250 employees in California? And now Sony Pictures is moving to Canada. As I say, even socialist Canada is more business-friendly than the state of California. But this is the same in the United States of America. The highest corporate tax rate in the world can be found here in this country. And you people who continue to vote for Democrats are basically voting for the demise of your own nation. I'm trying to alert you. I'm not going to change any minds because many of you are brainwashed and you feel if you even believe a word I say, you're a racist. That's how brainwashed you become. And you think that if you say enough is enough on amnesty for illegal aliens, you're a racist. That's how brainwashed you become. And you think that because the reverse discrimination lawsuit came out in favor of a European-American cop, that he's a racist, even though he had a master's degree and far better qualifications than the Hispanic. That's how brainwashed you become. That's the country we're living in. But I've been doing this for 20 years, so my mind is steeled to the big lie. I know exactly what's going on. I see things as they are. And I express them to you as I see them. I call them as I see them, as Casey Stengel was once famous for saying. And I will not apologize for my viewpoint. I've worked too hard and I've spent too many years digging for the truth as a truth teller to apologize for it. And I just present the facts and you have to decide what's right and what's wrong and what to do. Now, there's a big election coming up in November, probably the most, I'd say the most seminal election of my life. Because if we can throw Harry Reid out and that gang of Democrat corrupt crony senators and replace them with the less corrupt Republicans who will have to do a lot better in order to hold on for the presidency, and they just might mind their ways for a little while, the corrupt Republicans. If we can sweep the old, dead, corrupt Democrat Party out of the Senate and gain control of both houses of Congress, then, of course, the Republicans might just stop inviting Duck Dynasty to represent them and run a candidate who might appeal to a broader coalition of voters. Now, I have nothing against people who make duck whistles and have ugly beards and wear bandanas. Nothing at all. But I don't think that's the correct image for the Republican National Committee. But, of course, they've never been known to know what's right and what's wrong or which way north is or south is. But that's what's going on in the country right now. And if you want to chime in on any of these topics, the phone number is 855-400-7282. I want to play Hillary Clinton, who has nothing to offer except racial division as her only calling card. Listen to clip 24, because you're not going to believe where she's coming from. Listen to this.
I think that people will see that we are strong and well-equipped to restore prosperity here at home, to deal with the cancer of inequality, to give people in our country the ladders of opportunity that
have the cancer of inequality. Now, she's the beacon of liberty now, the cancer of inequality. She's holding out hope for all of the downtrodden of the world. There's no ladder of opportunity in America. Oh, not at all. That's how an unknown senator from Illinois became president. How did he get there? By a broomstick? Obviously got there through the ladder of opportunity. That's what makes America great. When I was a child, I was told anyone could become president in this country. I came from an immigrant family, and they said, in America, anyone could become president. Now, Obama certainly made that to be a fact of truth. Shows anybody could become president. I would say a local gardener could become president. An illegal alien gardener working in your backyard could become president in this country, given the trickery involved. But let's put the bad jokes aside. There's been a revolution in this country, and you don't even know it. First, there was the women's movement, which was a revolution where, in the first time in history, women demanded and received equality. We don't know how the revolution is going to work out, Sometimes revolutions succeed and the women wind up winning and running everything and the men wind up as second-class citizens. Because, see, the way it is, it's one or the other. Equality is a wonderful idea, but there's no such thing in human history. And so the men dominated seats of government and women since the beginning of time. And with the women's revolution, we see women rising to high places. And we haven't seen any greater sense of fairness or equality on the women, have we? You're telling me that Nancy Pelosi is a fair-minded person? You're telling me Dianne Feinstein has shown and exhibited the kindness that you expected from women? No, they're ruthless. They're as ruthless as any backroom cigar-chomping man of the 1950s in a southern courtroom. That's what they become. Chomping on their imaginary cigars, stepping on anyone who gets in their way. So we can't guarantee that the revolution will work out for the betterment of this nation or the world, can we? Some revolutions turn out very badly indeed. This one doesn't look like it's turning out too well. Then we had the revolution of affirmative action, civil rights. No one can argue that it should have stayed the old way. Can we guarantee, though, that this revolution is going to work out for the betterment of the nation and for a greater fairness and a greater equality? I don't see that, do you? And so that's why this man, this policeman, went to the courts, a federal court, by the way, and said, no, I was stepped on. I worked my behind off. I got a master's degree. I put in years as a lieutenant. And you picked a Hispanic who never went to college. He didn't put in the 4 years in a lieutenant's position. And he came in third on the test while I came in first. He said, no, I'm suing you. And, of course, he won in before a jury in a federal lawsuit in Freeport, Long Island. He won $1.35 million. And so you can't say that all revolutions to do with equality end up producing a betterment for society, can you? Sometimes it goes the other way, and it produces the reverse. The reverse effect occurs. It makes the society a worse place. And that's what the courts are having to wrestle with in many cases right now. And that's why I asked you for affirmative action horror stories. Whether it was you personally, your husband, your daughter, your son, I mean, everyone has one, but no one can talk about it. They don't know where to go with it. They're bottled up. They're about to explode. The country is like a ticking time bomb under this administration who uses a class warfare and race warfare in virtually every speech and every venue to turn man against woman, woman against man, black against white, white against black, Hispanic against white, white against Hispanic. At every turn, this administration is stirring the pot. Because they know one rule of politics is divide and conquer. That's all they have in their card. They are a complete and abject failure on every level. Everything they've touched from foreign to domestic policy has fallen flat on its face. Nothing they have done has worked. Can you name one thing Obama has done that is to be boasted about? I can. He killed Osama bin Laden. Give him credit for that. What else has he done? Can anyone tell me what else he's done that is worthy of saying this is a success? Now, put aside all the press spin that you've heard. They just even fired Jay Carney today. They threw him out on his loafers. Even he's gone. Shinseki is gone. Two in a day. They're throwing them overboard because the fish is rotting from the head down. The Titanic, the hull of the Titanic is scraping against an iceberg that's tearing the plates off the bottom of the ship of state. And they know it. And I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. We're waiting for a piece of music to go with the segment because I can't work without rock and roll on Rock and Roll Friday, and I don't know what I called for. Neil, you remember what it was? Because that's what I want to hear. I got to hear the music. Goodness gracious. That's actually not it, but okay, we'll deal with it. I wanted the Diamonds, Little Darlin'. I'm not working until I hear Little Darlin' by the Diamonds. I need my rock and roll on Rock and Roll Friday. The pressure's too great on me. It's been the worst week of my adult life this week. But you know, that's what I want. Ave Maria. A Catholic friend has said, Ave Maria is the way we do it. I think she came from a mixed family. Jewish, Irish. Ave Maria. I turn it off. It's not that good. I got a headache from it all, frankly. It's enough already. I'll tell you what it is. I finished the book last week, and it may have been the straw that broke the camel's back. 83,000 words. I worked on it for three straight days, The Coming Civil War. Actually, I renamed it Stop the Coming Civil War. The publisher wants it to be called The Savage Truth. It's a little discussion going on right now. But the fact is that looking at it all, I almost went under from it. There's only so much a man can take. My skin broke out in hives. I'm not kidding you. I swear to God. I had a generalized body rash, and I've had good skin since I'm 14. I broke out in a rash from stress. Then the bee stung me to top it off on Sunday. The wasp stings are frightening. I mean, if the whole hive got me, I'd be dead. Now, we can't blame that on Obama. I'm sorry. There was not a secret CIA drone that stirred up the wasp's nest. No, let's not go there. They saw me as a piece of meat that was threatening their hive in the ground. I didn't even know it was there. It was near a house of mine. And I never wear shorts. That day I had to wear shorts on a hot day and top it off, cut off socks. That little SOB with wings went right above the sock line, which my ankle was hurting me anyway from a twisted ankle. They sense it. Bingo, right? I saw it coming at me. You can't get away from a wasp. They're amazing, and they can sting you over and over again. 4 days now. Then I went to a crackpot dermatologist who was a sadist. Have I ever told you what he said to me? I think dermatologists are sadistic, by the way, by and large. They like to cut and burn. They get their rocks off cutting and burning you. Well, most doctors, if you look at it, the surgeons, they were basically malicious children. Very, very intelligent, skilled, malicious children who like to cut you. It's been studied psychologically. It's a very hard thing to do, admittedly. But if you look into surgery, you'll find that many of them were warped as children. But instead of becoming mass murderers or knifers, they became surgeons. Did I get your attention now? Good. I'll be right back to get more of your attention right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yeah, baby. Get in! 34 minutes after the hour on Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Yeah, well, the song was a dog with ball. I'm waiting for my half spaghetti, half ravioli lunch. Should be here soon. I'm starving to death in the middle of the show. I usually eat before the show. It's the hard thing's still the timing. Who can eat lunch at 11 in the morning here on the West Coast? You can, like, get sick from it. Now it's a lunchtime for me. I have to eat in the middle of the show. It should be here any minute. I got a migraine. I'm dizzy. The foot, the steroid cream on the leg for 4 days. That stuff is murder. A powerful. Well, thank God for modern medicine. I couldn't get it down. What was going to use, like, mud? People said, like, use mud, use Preparation H. Everyone has, like, a home remedy. Fine. I mean, that's good. Mud and Preparation H are great for a bee sting if you don't have steroid cream. Great. I mean, I understand natural remedies. I wrote books on it. So I used the steroid cream, and it took a while to get it down and this and that. But I go into the dermatologist. I got to tell you the story. It's an amazing story. Then I'll come back to the affirmative action horror stories. It happened over the weekend, the Memorial Day weekend. No one was in, so I spoke to a dermatologist over the weekend. On the emergency line, you know, use ice till they come in, da-da-da-da. And it won't go down. It's spreading. It was like a nightmare. It kept getting bigger, and the foot looked like two, like, Michelin tires on the bottom of my foot. Little mini Michelin tires on the bottom of my foot. Of the edema was, you know, I was getting worried because it wouldn't go down. It went up. So my normal dermatologist is out here in the county that I live in. And it was a sub who I've used before who happens to be a man, and he's gay. He's a nice gay guy. I've been there before, but he's like one of these out gays who's always, like, telling you about him being gay. He's like he's gay, and he's quiet about it. You have to understand, the minute you walk in, it's all about him and all about his thing, and he's supposed to be clever, and no matter what he does, you have to put up with it. I don't mind. I'm used to it. It's funny. I grew up with gay people. Some of them were nice. Some weren't. So I'm sitting there with a time to be there after the show. He makes me wait an hour. My foot's blowing up. I'm in pain. And I hear him screaming in the room next door. I mean, like, screaming at some guy doing, like, a laser job on him. Meanwhile, I'm sitting with my foot up. It looks like a piece of chopped meat on the stool. And I have my dog with me, Teddy. He's laying there quietly on the floor, a little 10-pound poodle. I said, "Nurse, you got to give me something. I'm in pain here. I came here to be treated. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he?" So she didn't know what to do. "Oh, we can't give you anything." So she puts an ice pack on my foot, which, thank God, after an hour, gave me some relief. He comes in. First thing he says is, how gay is that? Pointing at my dog. So I said, what? He says, that poodle. Do you know how gay that is? I said, okay, so I fit right in. Now what? Can you fix my foot? So he doubles down on it again. He says, how gay is it with that poodle? Do you have any idea how you look? I said, what's the big deal? I fit right in the city now. Can we go on now, and can you fix my foot? So from there on, it was downhill. I mean, he starts in with, I want heat on that foot. I said, excuse me, your nurse just put a cold pack on it. I want heat, he says. And from there, it was no good. Just, it was no good. Then he makes a prescription for me that's $1,200 and not covered. $1,200. Why did he have to pick a steroid cream that's $1,200? I don't understand it. I guess he wanted only the best for me. So I had, that took a day to get the steroid cream that was only $49. That was a little less potent. I wound up using something I had in the medicine cabinet. I have like a whole closet full of, over the years, I collect my own pharmacy. You know, it's good to have your own. It is very good. So then he says to me, okay, if it gets a secondary infection, I want you back here. I'll put you on antibiotics. I said, how about just making the prescription now, and I'll get it at the same time. So if it gets infected, I'll take them. No, you have to come back. Can you believe this? That's what I had to put up with. So then for 2 days, the fire is down now. I'm not complaining. It's not getting a bullet wound in Iraq or in Afghanistan. I get it. I'm not complaining too much. So wait, listen to this story. Everyone you tell that you have a bee sting has an answer for you. Everyone has an answer. They tell you about their grandmother who got bitten in the Monticello while collecting blueberries in 1959. I'm trying to tell him my foot's killing me and it looks like a piece of chopped meat. Oh, yeah, she got bit by a bee when she's collecting blueberries outside in the Steiner's bungalow collar. I have to listen to that. Fine, there's no sympathy left in the world. I didn't expect it. I'm a grown man. Wait, it gets better yet. I call a relative who lives in L.A., I love him dearly. He says to me, a rattlesnake bit one of his employees on his property. I said, what? Now, that was a bigger story than a bee sting. I said, a rattlesnake in your backyard? Yes. He said, luckily, the gardeners had kept a rattlesnake kit in the tool shed that saved his life. And the guy is so big. He's a big Irishman, like 6'5". I mean, he could be like throw a telephone pole. I love him. He's a great guy. Thank God he was a big guy. He could be dead from the rattlesnake bite. What is not for the gardeners had the rattlesnake kit. And that he was a huge Irishman, thank God, made of iron. He didn't die. He's in a hospital 2 days from the snake bite. It just shows you what could happen out of nowhere. But there's more to this story than just a little humor. You want to hear it? Or you're too busy already? You turn the dial now? You're turning the station around? You need to hear something else? It's a high fly ball in center field. Obama this. So you want to hear only Obama bashing? Let me tell you the rest of the story. You got to hear this. I lay in bed that night, and I couldn't sleep from the itching and the swelling and the this and the that. I've been very lucky in life, you know, so far so good. And I wasn't born yesterday. No major surgery other than tonsils out in my fifth grade when I was five. And I take no medication. No, I go into a doctor. They say, list the medications you're on. And I say, aspirin and vitamins. They say, what? They turn and look at me. How could it be at your age and not on 12 medications? I said, that's the way it is. I've treated myself. So I'm very lucky. But all of a sudden, things went bad. I was in the emergency room 3 times this year. Then the bee comes out of nowhere. And I have like this thing about fate and God. So I laid in bed about 4 a.m. I woke up with the itching. And I said, why is this happening to me? What's going on? Why am I suddenly vulnerable to minor illnesses and being bitten by bees? That's how I think, right? And it dawned on me. I said, don't you remember, Michael, what you said to yourself last weekend? I said, what? You said you didn't believe in God anymore. You said you thought religion was the reason for all the problems on the earth. You said it to yourself. You said had there not been the mythology of Moses and Abraham and the beginning of the monotheistic religions and then copied by the Christians and then modified and copied by the Muslims, there'd be such no dissension on the earth. I said, even though you know that those who worship the state have caused more damage than those who worship religion, you thought both of these elements, statism and religion, have caused the deaths of millions around the world since the beginning of time. And you said you don't believe in God anymore. And said, once you drove God out of your psyche and out of your body, remember the saying, the kingdom of God is within you? Think about that one. Once you drove God out, you opened yourself up and became vulnerable to disease, and even being bitten by a bee, because you ask anyone, people who walk on fire, and I lived in the Fiji Islands, so I work with folk healers who are very highly into spirituality and things. I've talked to firewalkers back in the 60s who could walk on fire before it became kind of popularized. And it was all about spirit and bringing in the spirit into the body, which protects you. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you literally become almost like a shield inside your body from external threats. And I truly believe that. And what happened was, is I've always been a sort of believing guy, almost childlike in my mystical belief in God. And by eschewing God, pushing him away from me, God didn't leave me. I pushed God away. I pushed him away. I said, I don't believe in you anymore. So he said, all right, it's your business. I don't need you. You need me. I was told that by a very religious man 30 years ago. When I asked this rabbi, why does man, if God is so great, what does man have to bow down to him for and pray to him? The man said to me, he was a spiritual rabbi. He said, this was a great one, not one of these Saturday night Lox and Bagels guys with a Cadillac or a Lexus today. This was a real spiritual rabbi. He said to me, God doesn't need you to worship him. You need to worship God. So it took me years to understand that one. Man needs to worship a higher power. The higher power doesn't need you to worship him. So by me eschewing the higher power and ejecting that power from within my own being, suddenly there was a vacuum in my body and in my being. And what is the statement? Nature abhors a vacuum. So into that vacuum comes illness, comes disease, comes the bee. At least that's how I put it together. And I pray to God that I'm right. But I pray to God that I'm right about that one. And I asked his forgiveness. I think we made up. I'm not sure. Because the bee sting is diminishing thanks to the steroid cream and modern medicine. But I still have a childish view of things in many ways. I guess that's what makes me so charming at my age. This childlike charm. I mean, we can't throw away the child in us. We do this, and what's left? A nasty old man or a politician? Anyway, that's my Friday afternoon sermon for you. Be very careful when you say God doesn't exist. Because in the negative, you'll find that he does exist. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Radio theater is the temple of the story. I got to forgive myself in advance, but I am scarfing down my lunch. And I couldn't eat it all. It came, as I said, God and I made up. The minute I said that, the food arrived at the door. And I've been speed eating as fast as I could. To give you an example of a savage lunch, as you know, I hate fancy restaurants. You see a white tablecloth, I run. It reminds me of a racetrack. Dining. Usually food is, in other words, the less the environment, the better the food usually. Not always, but it's usually that way. The higher the service and the cleaner the cutlery, the worse the food. No, you can't have it all. But anyway, I ordered half spaghetti, half ravioli with pomarola sauce, two meatballs on the side, and a side salad. So far, I've devoured all the ravioli, the meat ravioli, in 4 minutes, and half the spaghetti. I haven't yet touched the meatballs. I can't wait for the top of the hour. The meatballs will be gone. At the bottom of the next hour, the salad will be gone. Man, is this good. There's a local restaurant that I go to. Not fancy, old style. Contractors love it. Charbroiler. Because I'm on a weird diet now. I can't eat fish, so I'm eating crazy food. I mean, I'm eating my original diet that killed my ancestors. Meat and potatoes. I never felt better. Well, I don't have any allergies, though. If I eat fish, I flare up. Maybe the omega-3s are bad for me, I'm starting to think. Maybe I need omega-1s. You know how expensive steaks are today because of the prices of food? I mean, if they put the cost of food and fuel into the cost of living, we'd have like an 18% inflation right now. And you'd be earning interest in the bank again. It'd be like the grand old days of Jimmy Carter. Well, you can make 10% on your money. You can't make a dime in the banks anymore. That's the force you to spend it to give the economy a boost. It's all done by the feds. They keep the interest rates negative so you don't keep the money in the bank. So you spend it. Why? So it boosts the economy. But the thing is, you'd like to earn a little interest, right? Anyway, the real inflation's 15-18% right now. If you threw fuel and food back in, the steak cost me $32 in the restaurant in the other night. And I know its food costs have gone way up. You can't blame the providers. They're not raking it in. The cost of production is much higher right now. And the actual value of the dollar is reflected, by the way, in food and fuel. Those are real things. Which, by the way, is why I sell gold on this show a lot. Gold is real. Food is real. Fuel is real. But the rest is fake. So thank God the lunch got here. That's all I can say. As long as I can stay ahead of the inflation curve and still buy a steak and a ravioli and a spaghetti and the French bread that's crispy. Because I made up my mind last night. I stayed in last night. I cooked my own meal. It was horrible. Horrid. I'm not doing it again. Takeout in the boxes to be is better than my home-cooked spaghetti. It's disgusting with a bottle of sauce. What am I living like in a trailer park? I have more money than anyone. Well, why did I have to stay in last? I could have gone out to any restaurant in the city. I can't take it. I can't take the driving and the waiting and the talking and the ordering. How you doing, Michael? If they don't know me, then I even get angrier. If they treat me like a tourist, I get madder than if they know me and bother me. So I'd rather stay in and talk to the dog and watch television. I mean, think of the news I'm missing. Or another military history show, which I absolutely love. I love military history. It's like very, very instructive. It's Rock and Roll Friday. I mean, I've been talking about all this stuff. The affirmative action is horrible. This just came out minutes ago. Your House of Representatives just voted to halt federal meddling in medical marijuana, which just means they fundamentally de facto legalized medical marijuana. And that shows you that the cowards in Congress are basically willing to give you anything that you want. And it's not marijuana reform. It's the legalization of marijuana. Now, let me be very clear on this. I've long been in favor of decriminalizing marijuana, but not legalizing it, because it sends the wrong message. Marijuana is extremely dangerous for young people. If you send them the message that marijuana is a benign herb and it's natural and it's good for them, you are condemning your child to a lifetime of drug use. I don't care what you say. I know it to be a fact. And to me, this is not, by the way, a moral argument. I could care less what you take into your body. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. It's your body. It's your body. But if you don't know the medical the damage that marijuana does to your body, then you're an ignoramus. Just Google the toxicants found in marijuana, please, for your own sake. And don't blame me for warning you. It also is very hallucinogenic, the level of marijuana, of THC today, extremely hallucinogenic, which is why the politicians can get away with what they get away with, which is why they want to legalize marijuana. They continue pulling the wool over your eyes. You ever hear the song, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, Idiot? This clouds of smoke. Yeah, great. Just let the idiot smoke. Let him drink. Let them have what they want. What do we care, you know? As long as we can keep worshiping the golden calf and, you know, mulking the public. What's this? Smoke Gets in Your Eyes.
My true love was.
Oh, same song as the group that did The Great Pretender. The Platters. The Platters. No one knows them anymore. No one cares. The Sopranos are dead. They've been off the air years. Once The Sopranos went, all rock and roll went with it. There's no need for any more. Sopranos are gone. It's a big story that there's still a fighting chance for the white majority. You got to understand that white males are now the minority in law enforcement. They've been pushed aside by the cowards in politics. So fight back, get a good lawyer, and sue. Use the tool of the enemy against the enemy. Take them to court and you'll win. Because a jury cannot ignore the facts when they're presented to them. You got better grades, better education, more years in service. You win.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation, so we got to get a little rock and roll going and get your calls at 855-400-7282. In the last hours, we've been talking about discrimination against white males in this country primarily, and how a white male, a police lieutenant, who was passed over for a captain's police chief's job in Long Island, sued and won because it was a hands-down decision. Mr. Borrella sued because he came in first in the civil service test for chief of police. He had a master's degree, which he didn't get in the Cracker Jack's box, and he had years as a lieutenant. Instead, the black mayor appointed a Lieutenant Miguel Bermudez, who had no college degree, lacked a previously required 4 years in his lieutenant position, and came in third in the test. Well, the candidate, Barilla, the white man, sued. It took many, many years, and he won $1.35 million. But the town is going to appeal this. They're going to appeal this, hoping that they can rig the system and bring it before a radical judge. On another racial note, this is one that's going to be hard for you to swallow. But I've warned you that many of the Democrats are diehard communist racists. In New Mexico, a Democratic gubernatorial candidate named Alan Weber, who has deep ties to the old Weather Underground. Do you know who they were? Weather Underground. And he urged empathy for a child sex offender. This Weber is a Democrat. He's running for the governorship in New Mexico. And here's what he said about Republican Governor Susana Martinez. Listen to what he said. He said, "We need to send her back to wherever she really came from." That's a Democrat saying this. A Democratic candidate for the governorship in New Mexico said this about a Hispanic lady who is the governor, Susana Martinez. We need to send her back. Well, let's play it. Listen.
So I am asking you for your help. We need to make Susana Martinez a one-term governor. We need to send her back to wherever she really came from.
Now, that's a Democrat. Now, what if that was a Republican who said a thing like that about a Hispanic? Tell me what would happen. It's in a video obtained by the Weekly Standard. And Mrs. Martinez is up for re-election. She's a Hispanic Republican. In fact, she's the first woman Hispanic governor in America. But Weber, the demagogue communist who has a history of radical views, including ties to the very dangerous Weather Underground. And by the way, the Weather Underground and the SDS is now running a good portion of America, whether you know it or not. Those of you who know what I'm talking about from the 60s, these very dangerous American versions of the Biden-Monhoff gang are now deeply embedded in American government. Well, this creep, Weber, has raised the most money of Democratic candidates vying to challenge Republican Governor Susana Martinez. And that's what's going on in America. That's what's going on in America. And I thought I would want to share that with you on the Savage Nation. Now, if you'd rather I talk about belly fat and how to reduce it, I'm not going to do that because you can get that on any website. What's this with the belly fat? Reduce belly fat wherever you turn. I don't even understand that. What's this belly fat? Why is that a new curse of the middle class? I don't get that. I think instead we'll go to the callers who've been holding a very long time on the Savage Nation. Let's begin on WBAP in Dallas, Texas. David, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation. David. David's not there. We had a blank. So the call screener now has to go through the calls and make sure they're really there so I'm not shooting blanks. In a rodeo here. I mean, we have to shoot real ammunition. So we'll go to the next call. Let's go to WFTL in Florida. Janet, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. My husband has belly fat.
He has belly fat. Well, there's only one cure for that. And that's put him on Michelle Obama's diet.
Okay. He has to give up.
Make sure he doesn't eat the food she eats. That's all I can tell you.
He's got to give him the Chinese food and the beer. Okay.
Yeah, tell him to start eating just fruits and vegetables like she doesn't do.
Okay. What I really want to talk about is reverse discrimination. In my case, I was born and raised in New York, came down to Florida in the 70s. I'm Hispanic. Met and married my southern husband, who happens to be white. I called him a redneck at that time. He went for the fireman exam. Just a regular fireman. Just regular fireman.
Right.
2 years of college, high school graduate, regular. Hit number one. They called him in the office and said he hit number one, but they had to give it to number three.
And, well, who was number three?
Do I need to say the
National. I'm asking you, who was number three? We're having a discussion here. Who was number three?
Okay. In this case, it was a black American, which is okay, you know, but number three, yeah.
Well, he was number three what, on the test scores?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And they decided to give it to an African American who was scored lower than your husband?
Yes.
And how did that affect you as a Hispanic married to the European American? Did you feel that was necessary or fair?
Hey, that's so funny. I said, Tom, this is reverse discrimination. Get over it.
Okay? Janet, let me explain something to you. As a person who has fought this battle many times in my life, I learned a long time ago there's no such thing as reverse discrimination. It is called discrimination, period. Never forget that. It is discrimination no matter which way you spin it. And thank you for sharing your affirmative action horror story on the Savage Nation. And I think right now, many of you have to understand you're fighting for your survival, not only for the nation's survival, but your family's survival, your individual survival. And unless you learn the tools you need to fight back against these Biden-Monhoff gangs that are running this country, you're going to lose everything. You'll lose your birthright. You'll lose your family right, and you'll lose your nationhood. I'm telling you exactly the way it is. I mean, many of you think this is hyperbole, and, you know, it's not true. Look how well Zuckerberg did. I get it. But not everybody is Zuckerberg with Facebook. Not everybody is that intelligent, that lucky, and that aggressive as Zuckerberg, where they can make billions of dollars with a new startup company. Most people who are listening to talk radio are the average person. Decent people who play by the rule book, who do the right thing, apply for a job, and get basically kicked in the groin. They get kicked in the groin and they have to take it. It's become so rampant in America, affirmative action, that when the white man is kicked in the groin, he takes it. He doesn't know what to do. He says, who am I going to go to? I don't have the money to sue. Well, this man did find a lawyer, and he did sue, and he just won $1.35 million. I am recommending to anyone listening to the show who has been stepped on in a job application and can prove it, as this cop did. And the story came from the New York Post. It's on michaelsavage.com. It's on the Drudge Report. Why don't you get a lawyer and go and sue that agency? Because there are many lawyers out there looking for these kinds of cases. Get that lawyer. Her name is in there. Maybe she'll take your case on contingency. Because only by using the tools that the left has used to drag us into this horrible situation we're in, where quality doesn't count anymore, and it's all based on other things. I mean, it's not about quality. Say exams don't matter. Well, what does matter? Are you crazy? We're told by Martin Luther King Jr. that skin color shouldn't matter. And now they're saying only skin color should matter. That's not what Martin Luther King Jr. fought for. He wanted equality. He didn't want skin color to be the only arbiter of whether a person is qualified for a job. No, he didn't want that. He wanted equality and equal chance. And look what they've done. Take a look at what the left wing has done with this wedge to this country. You understand what's going on? So you can fight back. You can find a friendly lawyer who will take this case on. 855-407-2822 is the phone number. We are talking about the horrors of affirmative action. We're not talking about food. We're not talking about sports. Atlas Shrugged, from each according to their ability to each according to their need. That's communism, as you well know. From each according to their ability to each according to their need. That's the Marxist credo. And if you want Rat Boy and Rat Girl to run America, you couldn't do better than what you have right now. You're living in Animal Farm. It's right out of Animal Farm, right in front of your eyes. But most of the lessons of the writers of the past have been forgotten. Literature has been obliterated. Language has been obliterated in this country. Literature has been obliterated. All of the books that liberals grew up on have been burned. I don't mean literally burned, but they've burned the books by taking them out of the libraries and taking them off the reading list. So when you see a book such as Animal Farm, which was once required reading because it taught us what would happen when demagogues took over a nation, you'll find out that it's not read anymore in the high schools because the children may learn something from it. They may find out that everything around them is Animal Farm. Everything around them is out of Animal Farm, so they dropped it. They dropped Brave New World. It's considered passe literature. Instead, you have 10th-rate, illiterate morons being held up as poets, literary figures everywhere you turn, interviewed like the geniuses Morons. Idiots and morons being held up as role models because they write these racist screeds against an oppressive society, against the white male, are suddenly they're geniuses. Greater than Shakespeare, greater than William Blake. Suddenly they're geniuses that they discovered. They know 63 words of English and they're geniuses. At least that's one man's opinion. Call me a snob, if you will. Call me anything you want. Just get the last name right. It's S-A-V-A-G-E. It is 16, 17 minutes after the hour, coming upon 18 minutes after the hour. If you have anything to say about this, and I'm sure many of you do, you'll probably want to call the show. And the nutrition story is a big one, where Michelle, who's not an elected official, is angry that Congress saw that schools were losing billions of dollars, not hundreds of thousands, billions of dollars, on her foolish food fascism. And they said enough is enough. The kids are throwing the lunches in the garbage. They want to eat real food. They need protein. They need fat. They need nutrients. They need fuel to fuel their young bodies. And she said, no, let them eat lettuce and tomatoes. As I say, I'm a pioneer in books on children's health, so I understand her message. It's a good one. But you cannot impose diets on children. They will reject them. And so the kids are now buying all the food outside the school. So the Congress wisely responded to the children and the parents. And they want to override Michelle's food fascism. So she says, how dare Congress override me? What? She's not elected. She's a citizen, just as you and I are. But she has an opinion on the subject. And it's rather hypocritical of her to say that her favorite food is French fries, but you should eat lettuce. And then to tell the children that a health food is pizza, that's ludicrous. That's nonsense. Pizza is not a health food by any means. It's tasty. It's wonderful, but it's certainly not a health food. I mean, I don't understand how anyone would listen to her on nutrition. What's her background in? It's in community organizing, isn't it? Well, I mean, wasn't she also another lawyer who never practiced law, or did she practice law? Maybe I'm mistaken. She could have gotten a master's somewhere along the way in dietetics or something. But even still, it's only one man's opinion. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. Boy, this country is being destroyed so rapidly. Do you know what's going on the border? Do you know what's going on the border? If you looked at the pictures of what Obama is doing to this country, you'd scream. He has told the Border Patrol, ICE, whatever, not to prosecute the floods of illegal immigrants who are now coming over the border. They're pouring across the border in such great numbers. They say there's about 60,000 right now under the age of 18. And there's so many coming into Texas, they can't process these kids. They're not coming here to work. They're coming here to suck off the social network. They're sending them by bus to Arizona. Greyhound buses are lining up to bring this flood of non-citizens from Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico to Arizona. They can't deal with them. Obama has broken the border wide open, and this will cost us at least $2 to $5 billion. Not only that, forget about that. How are you going to put these kids into schools? What will this flood of illegal alien under 18 population do to our schools and our hospitals? What will it do to this country? Has anyone analyzed that? Why are we not standing up to it? It's possibly going to take a citizen's army to stop this. I don't know what else to say. I'm at a loss for words. I laid in bed awake last night and said, how can this be stopped? If the government is on the side of crime, then the citizens have to fight the government and the criminals. It's a criminal invasion. What do you want me to say? This is a wonderful thing for America? 60,000 children under the age of 18 being dumped at our border because the stupid nation says we will take care of them? Who? Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to pay for it, you idiot? You are. Now, why are the Democrats so intent on bringing children as young as 4 years old across the border? They're not coming here to work because they want to change the demographics. If you don't understand that you're at war, that they're literally trying to wipe a demographic off the map, you don't understand what I'm talking about. It's very hard for me to say this to you. It's extremely difficult for me to explain this to you in simple English. But this has never, ever happened before in human history, ever. Never before in human history has a demographic change of this magnitude occurred without a war having been fought and lost. I stick by those words. I will stick. That's a historic fact. I don't care whether it sticks in your craw. I don't care whether you feel us to be offensive. I've given you a fact of reality. Never before in human history has the demographics of a nation been changed as rapidly as that in America, without a nation having fought and lost the war, and the enemy then invades the nation and changes the demographics. I know you're saying, what the heck is he talking about? Is this guy crazy? I don't know. Check your history. Maybe you're crazy. Could be you're the nut, not me. It could be you're the nut, not Michael Savage. Maybe you're the reason that this imposter in the White House is able to get away with screwing the soldiers, spying on citizens, targeting his political enemies with the IRS, flooding America with illegal aliens. Maybe it's your fault, not mine. 20 years I've been watching this. Après moi le déluge. He has destroyed the border with Mexico. And the best is yet to come.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
855-400-7282. I want to next go to Michelle Obama, who has an obsession with saying one thing and doing another, like someone I know. Let's start with clip 4 on her favorite things to eat, and then you'll understand what I'm about to do.
Dude, what's your question?
What is your favorite thing to eat?
My favorite thing to eat? Okay, so I'm going to give you my favorite healthy thing to eat, which actually is my favorite thing to eat. Pizza.
Jeez.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
but if I'm really being bad, right? And if I want my favorite junk food, some kids asked me this just the other day. One of my favorite junk foods are French fries. I love French
fries.
So
as a result of her obsession with French fries and her inability to control her weight, she's acting out on the children by forcing them to eat lettuce and tomatoes and vegetables. Now, I have nothing against lettuce and tomato and vegetables. I've lobbied for this kind of food my whole life by writing books for children and children's diets. But anyone who imposes this on children is conducting a war on children in a way that I defined in 1983 in my book, The Skeptical Nutritionist, which I called food fascism. And it begins maybe with food fascism or soda fascism, as in the case of Mayor Bloomberg. But it doesn't end with food fascism or soda fascism. It only begins with food fascism or soda fascism. And so Michelle Obama imposes lunches on the children which they don't want, which they reject, which they're not buying. The schools are losing a fortune, and the schools are opting out of these stupid programs because the kids won't eat that garbage. And so Congress finally hears the people and passes, or trying to pass, a bill to let the children eat a little better food that they actually need for growing. Because let me tell you something, as an expert in nutrition who's written many books on children's health, children need different diets than you do. They need much more fat than you do. You may not know that, but if you feed your child a no-fat diet, as many of you are mistakenly doing, if you raise your child on such obtuse diets as those you have been brainwashed into eating, your child is probably suffering from malnutrition. So let's go to the real meat of the show today, a little story out of New York. Headline, white police lieutenant awarded $1.35 million in racial discrimination lawsuit. A Long Island police lieutenant has been awarded $1.35 million in his racial discrimination lawsuit against the village of Freeport, Long Island. You see, Lieutenant Christopher Barella, who is white, evil white man, had accused the village of awarding the police chief's job to a Hispanic officer with almost no qualifications and a lower test score. The former mayor, Andrew Hardwick, was a defendant in the case, but could not be reached for comment. He was the village's first black mayor, and according to this lawsuit, he passed over as many whites as he could to replace them with less qualified people of color. Barella had charged that Hardwick terminated and demoted qualified, experienced white men. Barella charged that Hardwick, the African-American mayor at the time, illegally chose Miguel Bermudez for the job of police chief, and he won $1.35 million. So let's look at the actual case and see what you think on the Savage Nation. Now, we all know that discrimination is rampant in America, mainly against white males. That we know. We all know that police departments, in particular, fire departments, even corporations, are bending over backwards to hire people of color to show that they're not, let us say, discriminating against people of color. So they hire less qualified people of color. Everyone knows it. Your daughter can tell you about scholarships. Your son can tell you about scholarships. Everybody knows it, but no one will say it. So let's look at the actual case itself. The guy who just won the $1.35 million, the European-American Barella, is 47. He has a master's degree. He came in first on the civil service test for chief of police. Okay, let's start again. He is a Suffolk resident with a master's degree. He came in first on the civil service test for chief of police. Instead, the black mayor named Lieutenant Miguel Bermudez of Freeport, who had no degree, not only not a master's degree, no college degree, lacked the previously required 4 years in his lieutenant position, and came in third on the civil service test. Did you hear? What do you think of that? You know, Orwell warned us about days like this under Obama, where certain individuals would use every trick in the book to turn the rest of the animals into slaves. There was a great article the other day by Alison Pearson in the Telegraph UK called "Are We All Racist Now?" And what's gone on in Europe has been an earthquake. They voted in conservatives in England. They voted in conservatives in France. They voted out EU membership. They want the immigrants thrown out of their country. They want the flood of benefits being given to the third worlders to stop. And they voted on it because they have a parliamentary system while we're stuck with a monopoly, which is why we have a rotting fish at the head of the entire structure here. We're stuck everywhere we turn. And what's the defense at every turn? We need fairness. You're a racist if you stand up to the bigots who are using race to get ahead. You know what you have to say then? You know, I'm a racist. I'm a racist then. What are you going to do about it? Go ahead. Call me a racist because that's what they're doing in England. They don't even care anymore. Did you hear this? Are you ready for this story out of England? Are you ready for this? A grandmother in England was told she was a racist by her children. She asked her grandson if his choir sang Negro spirituals. Racist, chorused my junior thought police with more than a hint of glee. She said, I'm not racist. What did I say that was racist? You're not allowed to call them Negro spirituals anymore, my daughter informed her. Do you know what Obama's doing to you while you sleep and watch sports, you idiot, you? 60,000 illegal aliens from Guatemala, mainly children, are being dumped on our border because he opened the floodgates to them. And they're busing them to Arizona because they can't even take them in Texas. He said, come on in. We want you all in. We need Democrat voters. So don't tell me they all come here to work. 60,000 children from Guatemala and Salvador, they're not coming here to work. They're coming here to suck the system dry. They're coming here to wreck the school system. English as a second language? Do you know how much money is being spent on ESL programs instead of on reading, writing, and arithmetic? Do you have any idea why our schools went from almost number one? In fact, in California, they were number one to like number 32 under Jerry Brown. Do you understand what the Service Employees International Union has done to this state, SEIU, where they elected Jerry Brown, the union alone, put this man in office? The SEIU destroyed this state. Let me give you a little fact. California prides itself on its film industry, right? Well, under the SEIU fascisti and Governor Jerry Brown, Sony Pictures Image Works is leaving Culver City, California, and moving to Vancouver for the tax breaks. That's right. You heard me. Socialist Canada is now more business-friendly than California under Jerry Brown. Did you hear the story? Didn't make it to your local paper? All you worried about is, are you racist or sexist or homophobic? Is that it? They got you so cowed that you listen to the losers tell you that? In a further blow to Southern California's visual effects industry, Sony Pictures Image Works is moving its L.A. area headquarters to Vancouver, Canada. It was transferring the bulk of its operations to Vancouver, where it has a satellite studio. They're firing 270 workers in California. Why are they doing this? Because Socialist Canada allows the company that any company that operates in British Columbia can recoup about 60% of what they spend on local labor costs. And as a result, Socialist Canada is now pulling the movie business out of Los Angeles. Socialist Canada, Jerry Brown, is now more business-friendly than California. Socialist Canada, California, is now more appealing than this rotting state that's run by the Service Employees International Union. Did you hear what I just said to you? Do you know what's going on in this country under these unions and these Democrat socialists? But let's go back to Are We All Racist Now? This is a very important article. It's about what went on in England. And what went on in England was an earthquake over the weekend. They said no more to illegal aliens, no more to third worlders who were committing crimes and robbing them blind on taxes. More than 90% of those who voted who say they are racist want to see immigration halted. You hear? 72% of those who do not consider themselves racist also want to see immigration cut drastically. Did you hear that? As shell-shocked politicians from the main parties in England struggle to discern the causes of UKIP's deafening electoral success, here's a tip. Look in the mirror, chaps. It's the politicians, not the British people, who are to blame for a resurgence in racism. Politicians who have ignored public opinion and created the conditions in which resentments fester and grow. Specifically, New Labour, who welcome workers from the new accession countries of the EU at a time when countries such as France and Germany wisely exercise their right to keep them out for another 7 years. But in this country, Obama's flooding the country with unskilled, illegal aliens from countries they don't even speak English. Tony Blair did it, then the next one did it. Anyone who was white and loved England was called a racist. They were called retrogrades. And Tony Blair said we must welcome a new, vibrant, multicultural country because he thought they would all vote Labour, which is socialist. Now, of course, England is not America, but it's far worse here. If the communist socialists under the Democrat regime are not stopped, I predict there is liable to be a civil war in the country, which we all want to avoid at all costs. Now, in England, it took a vote to stop them. And that's because they have a system far more democratic than ours, a system called a parliamentary system, where if a government fails the people, they can call for a vote, and they can call for a new government. We can't. We're stuck with a rotting government, a government that is so sold out to special interests and the third worlders, like La Raza, that we, the people, are marginalized in our own country. We are being marginalized in our own country. Do you fear that there could be an insurrection in this country against the government, as I do? The affirmative action horror stories are an example of what's going on in this country. And this case today of the European-American, Mr. Barilla, who had a master's degree, came in first in the civil service test for chief of police, but was passed over for Miguel Bermudez, who has no college degree, lacked the previously required 4 years in his lieutenant position, and came in last, third on the test. This is an example of the country is finally awakening, but slowly is it awakening. Maybe much too slowly. Much too slowly. And the fact of the matter is, anyone who brings these facts to reality are called racists. That's their game. It's the only game they have. Which is why, of course, that's all they ever talk about. Who do you blame for the flaring racial tensions? What do you fear will happen next in U.S. race relations? In the last 24 hours, there's been two resignations from Captain Obama's sinking ship. What do you think that means, that the four-star general Shinseki, who was the fall guy for the VA scandal, is gone, and now the spokesmouth, Jay Carneybarker, is gone? I mean, you can't fix... I mean, it would be like a fish shedding rotting fins. He got rid of two fins, but the fish is shot. You can't call me on that. What can you say? The administration's in deep trouble. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, for 20 years now, I have tried to delineate the tricks of the left and what they were doing to this country. I wrote 5 New York Times bestsellers in a row doing it, but there's only so much any man can do. The forces of the opposition are so all-powerful that sometimes you feel there's no stopping them. Now, I haven't stopped yet. I still get up every day and think that any day there's going to be a turnaround. Any day that this fraud is going to be discovered, he's either going to be thrown out or he's going to be impeached or arrested. Any day now, I keep saying it's going to happen. Any day they're going to find the smoking gun that can bring the president before a commission or a committee or an impeachment. Any day now, I keep praying for, let's say, the days of Watergate, and nothing. Watergate was a minor scandal to at least five different scandals that have emerged under this administration. Watergate was nothing. Nixon sent some detectives to spy on some opponents to his administration, while this administration spies on all Americans and others around the world with impunity, and he hasn't been impeached for it. Instead, they cover for him. But what has to happen is anyone's guess. I'm a great believer in God, and I do believe that God will save this country. Maybe it's childish to have such beliefs at this stage of in this age of cynicism. Maybe I'm just being a fool. It's possible that after all these years, I'm believing and holding on to something that's not real. But I'm telling you, this can't go on. Well, as we roll into the end of hour number three this Friday, May 30th on the Savage Nation, there's very, very big news. Here's all the news that you're going to hear for the rest of the day. You ready? Two resignations in 24 hours. Under the President of the United States. First, it was the head of the VA, Shinseki, a four-star general, by the way, a fall guy for all the failures of the VA. And now today, the spokesmouth, Jay Carney Barker, resigned. Yeah, resigned my eye. In other words, they're starting to throw people overboard when, in fact, a fish rots from the head down. Hey, wait a minute, I thought he was the commander-in-chief. I thought Moose Obama was the commander-in-chief. So first he fires the generals. Then he fires the head of the VA. Now he fires the spokesman. Meanwhile, the southern border is being overrun by illegal alien children being driven in by Greyhound bus. 60,000 of them on the southern border because they know that he opened the floodgates to these vassals of the state, which you're going to have to pay for. Meanwhile, a directive came out the other day outlining Obama's plan to use the military against citizens. Am I making it up? I'm not making it up any more than the wasp who stung my foot and put me in 4 days of pain. This man is planning to sting America's freedoms. Make no mistake about it. He's signaling his punches. You have to be blind, deaf, and dumb not to see what's going on in this country. Now I'll give you the good news. You ready for the good news? Sony Pictures Imageworks is leaving Los Angeles and moving to Vancouver in order to take advantage of generous tax breaks that California will not afford this film company. Socialist Canada is now more business-friendly than Jerry Brown's California. Listen to what I just said to you. Socialist Canada is now more business-savvy than Jerry Brown's California, so much so that one of the giants in image work, Sony, is leaving L.A., Culver City, firing 270 employees, moving to British Columbia to capitalize on generous tax breaks that Jerry Brown does not offer in California. Film companies operating in socialist British Columbia can recoup about 60% of what they spend on local labor costs. Now you understand what the unions have done to the state of California. They're going to turn the whole state into a third world cesspool. Thank you, SEIU, for flooding America with illegal aliens and with politicians who are nothing but frontmen for La Raza. Well, that's the good news. Have a nice weekend. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.